This is Daim Shabazz of the Chess Drum, and we're in St. Louis, Missouri at the closing ceremonies of the U.S. Championship. And Gadakhomsky won the championship over tie breaks, on tie breaks over Alejandro Ramirez. I have with me Jorge Zamora Hasbun, who participated in his second U.S. championship. And how did the tournament go for you?
Not as well as I expected.
Okay. Now, this is your second championship. When was your first championship?
It was back in 1997. And, I'm happy to be here.
Okay. So, in terms of your chess activity, I noticed you haven't been playing that much over the years. What have you been doing chess-wise?
Well, I mean, I stopped playing chess about 12 years ago. And I form a family, and I have kids, and so I basically that took me away from the chess scene. And about 5 years ago, I opened a chess academy in Providence, Rhode Island, and we started teaching. And so I'm actually very happy. You know, I was actually very happy. One of the main reasons why I planned this tournament was because I wanted our students to watch me play, and I think it's critical when you're teaching for your students to see you play, to know that you also learn from your mistakes. Unfortunately, the tournament did not go the way I wanted it. So I had the most strange tournament of my life. Yeah, go ahead, sorry.
Well, I know that, you know, the gap in between the years is obviously going to be tough, but this tournament probably differed a lot from your first U.S. championship. What kind of stuck out in your mind about this championship and the venue and the organization of the tournament?
Well, the organization part was amazing. I think the guys in St. Louis are doing amazing work, and they've done a lot for the game. And I think this is like the dream for most players who actually want to be active, because here they value the status of chess. I mean, everything here was fantastic, except, like I said, the way I played. It was the most strange tournament of my life.
Now, in terms of your result, you say that it was not a good result, but were you pleased with any of your games? Was there any game that you thought was particularly good, high quality game?
Honestly, I think every game that I played was high quality. I never played in a tournament in my life where I had 9 rounds. 8 out of those rounds, I'm completely winning. And, you know, usually when you play in a tournament and you lose a game, and you never had a chance. I lost one game where I lost, my opponent outplayed me completely, and I felt so good in that game. But then the rest of the 8 games, I was actually winning to a point that I had advantages where +8, +10, and I literally was not able to not only win the games, but I actually found very creative ways to lose. So it became like a, you know, I mean, it's awakening, because I was able to fight with these guys who are active. But I never had a tournament in my life where I destroyed myself, you know? So, I mean, everything happens for the best.
Now, we all remember you a long time ago when you were a young, junior player coming up, and you're still known to be a fantastic blitz player. In terms of training, and also in terms of teaching your students, what are some of the approaches that you try to instill in them to improve their game?
I think I try to teach him exactly what I was not able to do for this tournament, you know, which is train hard. Unfortunately, I mean, I tried to train hard for this tournament, but it was just too late, you know. I mean, I got a week notice. It was not enough. I always tell my students to be active, that the more you play, the more active you are. But I think the most of it is that when you lose, you have to learn from your mistakes. So now that I go back home, you know, I mean, I'm going to take my time, maybe like a week off, and literally go back and see what happened. I mean, I had no expectations whatsoever when I came to the tournament of performing well. But something strange did happen in this tournament where I feel like the love of the game has reborn in me.
Okay.
As weird as I may sound, I don't like to lose.
Do you follow many of the international events now?
Honestly, I didn't before. And I think this is actually how things are going to change because, you know, objectively speaking, there's only two things you can do. Either you stop playing completely or you have to train. I think one of the things I have forgotten in the last maybe decade and a half or two decades is that chess has changed. You're not able to come here anymore and just play out of knowledge. One of the things that I find out in most of my games, I was spending a lot of time thinking. And when I went back to my room, I realized that I have played maybe 16, 17 smooth of theory. And I had spent like almost all my time in my opponents and were only spending minutes. So it teaches you that the game has changed a lot, you know, and I have to adapt to this in order to, if I want to keep competing. So I think that this tournament actually was a blessing. You know, I mean, it's definitely a blessing. I mean, it makes you, objectively, once you have a tournament that you're not pleased, you have to take this as a challenge and make you a better player. You cannot let bad results break you. Instead, you have to convert them and turn you and let them turn you into, which is, by the way, which is what we're trying to teach the kids in our academy. Because one of the things that we try to teach them, and this is actually one of the things that we tell them, that we're not trying to make them professional players, but we want them to teach them is that with early lessons of life, that sometimes you make a bad move and you pay the consequences. So we want them to be more wise about the decisions they're going to make in life. You know, and when something goes wrong, you have to get up on your feet and fight. That's the definition of a fighter, you know.
Right.
A fighter is not only a guy who wins all the time. I mean, a true fighter is the one that goes down and is able to get back on his feet.
Well, the last question that I have, you and I have talked years ago about
Absolutely.
Some tournaments that you're doing. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. I mean, we're trying basically to, I mean, we're hoping to steal the idea of the Europeans, which they're able to give their players the opportunity to be titled. I think in the United States, I know a lot of people in New England area, and I'm sure there's tons of other people that I don't know of in the whole United States that are unable to get untitled because of lack of tournaments. So we're hoping to find sponsorships and even fund the tournaments with our own money. Just to give those a chance to be titled and bring more kids in. I think this would be one of my dreams. Basically, what I'm trying to give the community is something that I never had when I was young. I stopped playing chess at the age of 12, and mainly was because of the same reasons. You know, not able to play in tournaments unless you had to go overseas. So that's pretty much what we're trying to do. We're trying just to make it better and make it more competitive for our kids.
Well, we look forward to those tournaments and we look forward to the activities that you have. And hopefully we'll have some of your students who will rise through the ranks and maybe one day compete in the U.S. Championship.
Absolutely. I mean, I think there's a lot of talent out there, you know, and that's actually what we look forward to. And thank you so much for the interview, you know.
Definitely. Well, thank you, Jorge, and we look forward to seeing your activities and your tournaments, and certainly the Chess Drum will do what it can to help make that a success.
Thank you so much.
Okay. This is Daim Shabazz, and we're in St. Louis, and we're signing off the U.S. Championships.